The Rustic Tulip is a like-minded Christian company that crafts beautiful, handmade wooden items, including cutting boards, cheese boards, bread knives, utensils, and more. Each piece combines timeless craftsmanship with natural beauty, offering functional art for your home. My favorite. Their pieces can also be customized, which makes for the perfect gift for any homemaker. You can find them at rustic.tulip on Instagram or rustictulipco.com. They're offering us a coupon code this month, so enter Fruitful for 15% off discount at the checkout. A couple of their items that I have that I really, really love is their bread knife. It is a beautiful stained wood, and it's perfect for cutting my sourdough, and it's so beautiful. It has sparks engraved in the handle, and I hang it on my wall and grab it anytime that I need to cut our sourdough bread, and it's just lovely, and I imagine it being one of those pieces handed down to Providence. And then another tool that I have that I didn't even know I needed until I saw it is their toaster tongs. They're little wooden tongs that perfectly fit down in the toaster slot for whenever your toast just will not pop out. So those have been much used, and I recommend them both to you. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Today, we have a special episode where we are releasing the Titus 2 content from our latest class at Christ Church. Becky did a session on cleaning and organizing. This will be a two-part episode that's released. Today is organizing, so I hope it's helpful.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am not Jordan Sparks. This is Becky McNeely, and it's just me and you today, listener. I'm sure you have heard Jordan and Kate and I talk about the classes that our church does. We have a Titus 2 class where every so often we have women come in and teach different skills and topics that the women in our church are interested in learning about. And this year, we had a lot of people asking for a class on organizing and cleaning our homes. And this is an area that I am personally passionate about. I enjoy organizing and cleaning my own home and keeping it well. I also enjoy seeing other women learn and grow in this area. So I was asked to teach a class. Unfortunately, that class was not recorded, but we had a lot of interest in ladies wanting to hear that information and the things that we talked about there. So Jordan asked me to record this as kind of a recording of that masterclass, so to speak. So we're just going to be you and me chatting today. So grab a cup of coffee or tea or whatever floats your boat, and let's talk about organizing our homes today. Next week, we'll be talking about cleaning our homes, but today we're just going to talk about the organizing part of it. So before we start and dive into all of the steps of how to organize a home, practically, what does that look like? What do I do? Steps to follow? All those kinds of things. Let's talk about why. Because if we don't have a good view of why we organize our home, as soon as you start and you hit a roadblock and it becomes overwhelming, if you don't have that long view in mind, you're going to be overwhelmed very quickly and you'll want to stop and you'll go back to the old ways and methods and things that you've been doing that have not been fruitful for your home. So let's talk about why do we organize? Why is this even important? Why does it matter, especially if the only people seeing our home and all those little spaces like drawers and closets are just the people within them? Why does this matter? First, because our people matter. Our families matter. Our children matter. The people within our homes, they matter, and caring well for them is important, good work to do. So even if they're the only ones seeing their drawers or the only ones seeing your kitchen cabinets, it still matters. Those are people that are near and dear to you, and the environment that they're in should matter to us as women, that we are taking good care of them and the good spaces that we have. The other reason, another reason, is because our homes are gifts and they're resources to steward well. The things that we have in our homes are resources to steward well. Whether you have a big home, whether you have farmland, or whether you just have a bedroom. Maybe you're a younger lady. Maybe you are 15, 16 years old, and all you have is a bedroom. Your bedroom is a gift. It is a resource that you can use to steward well. And it's something that you can, the way that you steward that is a way that you can honor the Lord. So whether you have a bedroom or whether you have 75 acres, those are both gifts and resources to steward well. There is a verse in Matthew 25:21 that says, "And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Whatever the Lord entrusts to you this side of heaven, be a good steward, whether that's 5 talents, whether that's 1 talent, whether that's 50 talents, whatever you have, whatever resource. Obviously here they're talking about money, excuse me, but we can apply that to other areas too. Whatever resource, money is a resource, our homes are a resource, whatever resource the Lord has gifted you with, be a good, faithful steward of that. Women in all walks of life can benefit greatly from an organized life. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have young children, grown children, we are all stewards of something. Let's steward it well to the glory of God. The cleanliness of and the products you use within your home do affect your health and the health of your family. Taking good care of your home is part of taking good care of your family. And getting organized is not about having an aesthetically pleasing home, although I know we would all love that, right? We see the beautiful pictures on Instagram of all the matching organizing bins and the labels and everything's beautiful. And while those are good things to aspire to, it's not about all of the matching things and the things that are beautiful to the eye. It's about having the resources and tools that our family needs, ready, accessible, and kept in good working order. When someone in your home is hit with the flu, having an organized medicine cabinet means that you can treat them quickly and get them what they need when they need it. When a friend comes over and has a headache, you have medicine or you have balms at the ready saying, "Here, let me help you. Let me serve you in this way." If you're preparing to host a meal and all your dishes are in order because you've been faithful in caring for them and organizing them, it means they're easy to find, and it makes hosting and hospitality a breeze rather than a burden. If a friend needs a meal and you have a stocked pantry, you have ingredients on hand ready to help at that moment. If you are hosting last minute, your home is already in order, and it's easy to tidy because of the systems and the routines you already have in place. For example, last night we hosted our small group. We have a lot of small children in our small group, which is a blessing. But it took me and my husband and my children about 15, 20 minutes to reset the house after a whole horde of small children had been around, because we have systems and routines that we've established over the years that made that go smoothly. And it was not a burden. It was a joy to have people in our home. So having an organized home means that your tool, your weapon, is sharpened, ready to go, for loving others, showing hospitality, and caring well for those around you. In Titus 2, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." One of our commandments as women is to work at home, to keep our home well, to love our husbands and children. And part of loving our husbands and children is making sure they have clean laundry, making sure that they have a clean place to eat, making sure that they have the things that they need when they need them at the ready. So those are the whys. That's why we organize. That's why it's important. But let's get into some steps. I have 5 steps that will hopefully be very helpful in helping you become organized. And take these slowly. It's not a 5-day plan. These are 5 steps that you can take, and they take time, and it's something that you craft over a certain period of time, depending on what your life and schedules and seasons look like right now. But let's just dive in. So step one, you need to fix your mind on what's important. If your mind is cluttered, your home is going to be cluttered. If your mind is fixed on things that are worldly and not important, then it's going to be very hard to order your home in a way that's honoring to the Lord. So fix your mind on what's most important. How do you do that? Begin your day in word and in prayer. Set aside time at the beginning of the day before things get crazy, even if you're in a season where you've got a baby who's sleeping in your bed, or you have little people that are up multiple times in the evening. Before your feet hit the floor, pray. Spend a few minutes in prayer. Keep your Bible on your nightstand. Open your Bible. Read your Bible. It does not take that long, I promise. Open your Bible. Read it. Spend some time in prayer before your feet hit the ground. So get that down first. Get a rhythm and a routine where every morning you are starting your day in word and in prayer, asking the Lord to help you be faithful in stewarding the people and the blessings that you have well. Step two is establishing healthy rhythms and routines in your home. If you don't have an organized day, you're not going to be able to keep up with an organized home. You might get a beautiful cabinet, but if you don't have a rhythm and a routine structuring your day and your time, it will become very difficult to maintain those beautifully organized spaces. So step two is establishing healthy rhythms and routines in your home. So for example, this is an example morning routine. When I first get out of bed, I make my bed. I get dressed and ready for the day because even if you're a stay-at-home mom, being a stay-at-home mom is a job. That's a job that you get ready for. You get up, you get dressed. That way you have a church member that needs to stop by, or a friend needs something, or your husband forgot his keys or his wallet at home. You know, one of those things, you're ready. You're ready to go. You put shoes on, you leave, you're ready. Somebody stops over, you're ready. So make your bed, get dressed, get ready for the day. I always start a load of wash and then spend some time in prayer and reading the word if I have not done so already. So that's just a simple way for you as a mom or as a woman, even if you don't have children yet, that's still a solid way to start your day. If you have kids at home, an easy, healthy routine for them in the morning, teach them how to make their bed, help them lay out their clothes the night before so they can get dressed on their own, put away their books from the night before, put their PJs away, brush their teeth and hair. I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, and these are things that they can now do independently because they have been taught. And that's a key part of establishing these rhythms and routines. Please don't assume that your small children or even your older children, if you have not established rhythms and routines in your home already, please don't assume that they're just going to know how to make their bed or they're just going to know how to brush their hair or brush their teeth. These are things that have to be taught. Proverbs 31 verses 26 through 27 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." So organization is a skill that is taught to our children as we look well to the ways of our household. Organization is a gift that we can pass on to our children. The things that we learn in childhood carry through with us to adulthood. The things that are really good, healthy rhythms, routines, things like that, healthy habits. But unfortunately, also the unhealthy ones will carry with us to adulthood and affect us in some way, shape, or form. So let's set up our children with a good, solid, healthy habit and foundation from an early age. Meaning, let's start them off simple with, let's teach them how to make their bed. Teach them how to get dressed. Teach them how to put their books away that they were reading the night before. Teach them how to put away their PJs, put their clothes in the hamper, brush their teeth, brush their hair. Things like this, it's a simple way to instill responsibility in young children. It's a simple way to instill faithfulness in them, to teach them that there are things in life that we get up and we do again, and we get up and we do again, and we get up and we do again, because that's part of being faithful. It's the slow It's the slow things, the little acts of obedience over and over establishes faithfulness. So teaching them to be faithful in little, teaching them to be faithful in taking good care of their bedrooms and their spaces, even from a young age. So establish some healthy rhythms and routines. Those are samples of routines. A routine is just a step-by-step order that you follow in a little pocket of your day. A rhythm is a bigger picture kind of thing where you kind of zoom out and you think, okay, overall, what's our day going to look like? If you have the Keeping Home Planner, you actually have a daily rhythms page at the beginning of your planner that you can list out, okay, our morning routine. What are going to be the things we do in the morning? What are the rhythms we're going to do in the afternoon and in the evening? What is that going to look like for our family? So for our family, for example, our daily rhythms, we get up, I do my morning routine, the kids do their morning routine, and then I'm trying to remember off the top of my head now, I have it written down, but we eat breakfast and we have school. After school, we go outside and we play, or go on a walk or go to the park, something, get outside, get some sunshine. Even if it's chilly outside, bundle them up, get outside, come in, we do chores, and then we have lunch, and that's our morning. Our afternoon, we always factor in a time of quiet rest. It's just good. It's just a good, healthy habit for a home with children in it. And even for adults, even if you don't have children, establish a pocket of rest time where you can sit and you can read a book. You can sit and maybe catch up on some messages or something. Just establish a little bit of quiet time. It keeps everybody in a healthy balance of work and rest, and allow space for everybody to breathe. So if you do have small children in the home, you know that emotions can run high, people get tired, things are gonna build up, people are gonna get frustrated and flustered, and giving everybody some quiet time in their own little spaces gives everyone some breathing room. It gives you breathing room, and it gives them breathing room, and it helps maintain healthy fellowship and a good perspective on things. So this is a good time for little people to nap, and then older kids, maybe they can do some quiet reading. You get a time for some quiet reading, a sewing project or something of that sort. So have some quiet rest time. And then after we have lunch and then rest time. After that, our children we have free time. So they just, after they wake up or they're done with their rest time, it is just free time. You're free to go do whatever you want within reason. And then after that, we tidy up the house together, all together, tidy up the house. I'm working on dinner at the same time too. Sometimes I'll get dinner prepped. I try to get dinner prepped after lunchtime and get that all as ready as I can. That way tidy time is easy all together. And then we have dinner. And then our evening is dinner and then bath and PJs, brush teeth and hair, that kind of thing. We have family worship time at dinner time as well. And then we just read together as a family. We'll read aloud chapter books or read some picture books with the kids before bedtime and then pray and they go off to bed. So set up a rhythm. That way every day, your bedtime is going to be the same every day. Your wake up time is going to be the same. Your lunchtime is going to be the same. I know that schedules get crazy. Different seasons, different things happen, but try to establish a rhythm where every day the children know what to expect and you know what to expect. If your day is in good working order, it makes it so much simpler and so much easier to keep your home in good working order. If you're randomly tossing out tidy times for your kids where you're like, it's 3 o'clock, mama can't handle this, everybody, we're tidying right now. And then the next day you're saying, oh, nope, it's actually going to be at 6 o'clock that we're going to do this. And then the next day you're like, oh no, I've had it at 10 o'clock. You know, it gets stressful for them. They don't know what to expect. And children may not be able to process and understand, I feel overwhelmed, but it will come out in behavior or in disobedience or things of that nature. So if they know every evening before dinner, we're going to tidy the house, they know what to expect. That standard has been set and they know what's coming. They know what to expect. That way they are primed and ready to obey. And you can always give reminders too of, okay, after lunchtime, we're going to have our rest time. Just remember cheerful obedience and things of that sort. So step one, fix your mind on what's important. Step two, establish healthy rhythms and routines in your home. So organize your day and what that looks like before you get to all of your stuff. Step three is decluttering, and this is going to look different for everyone based on what size of home you have and the spaces you have within it. So for example, my son loves Legos. I mean, loves them. If we could have an entire room dedicated to Legos, I think he would be the happiest child in the history of the world. But unfortunately, that's not the type of home we have. That's not the way that our home is set up. And it doesn't make sense in the space that we have. That might make sense in your home. You might have a whole table where your son can play Legos, and that's fantastic. I don't need to play the comparison game and be upset about it, but I need to know that's not practical and reasonable for the spaces that I have been given. So we have a different management system for Legos. We have them in bins. When he wants Legos, we get them down and he can do them at an elevated space. So our countertop or our table or a desk somewhere where my one-year-old cannot reach all those teeny tiny pieces that I'm sure she would love to swallow and cause a very interesting day for everyone. So it's going to look different as you declutter. Don't look at what somebody else is decluttering on Instagram and think, oh, I have to get rid of those things too. If it works in your space, great. But if it doesn't work well in your space, answer that reasonably for yourself and say, okay, this is not for us, and that's okay. So if you have a large closet, you might be able to hang on to more things. So I'm not going to give you a number of sweatshirts that you should have, but I'll give you some tips and tricks for what you can do with smaller spaces, because we are a smaller spaces kind of home. My husband and I have a closet that is probably about 4 feet wide, and he has a top rack, I have the bottom rack, and that is all the hanging storage that we have in our room. He has a dresser, I have a dresser, and that's it. So if you have a larger closet, you might be able to have a winter section, a fall section, a spring section, a summer section, and have them beautifully organized. I don't have that space. So instead of that, I have like the big Rubbermaid bins, and I have a bin of clothes for each season. So I have my winter, fall, spring, summer clothes stored that way. And then I just rotate them out. When a new season starts, I get out a new bin, I swap them out. So if you have a small closet, that would be something to consider as you're decluttering. But decluttering in general, the best way to do this is to pull everything out. Now, hear this. Do not pull everything out at one time in a room. Look at one small space at a time. So, for example, if you're going to declutter your room, don't declutter the whole room at the same time. Pick your closet. Do just your closet. Get that all the way done. Then move to a drawer in your dresser and go one drawer at a time. Then go to your bathroom vanity. Do that one section at a time. If you overhaul an entire room at one time, you will get overwhelmed. You will feel like it's pointless. You will end up either wanting to throw away, burn, or just stash everything back in the closet and never see it again. You will not want to keep organizing, and you will want to either call for backup or just hide and cry in a corner. So please, for the good of your health and your home, do not overhaul an entire room at a time. Pick one small space. So as you're doing this, look at, okay, this is a space I have. What's reasonable for me to keep in here? So for example, for our kids' clothes, I try to keep about 15 to 20 outfits per kid per season. So again, this is going to look different for every home, but my son and daughter share a closet. And then our one-year-old, we have other things that are stored in her closet as well. So look at, this is a space I have. It's reasonable to say a child would have 15 outfits. Completely reasonable. Make sure that you have pants, shirt that go with that, and pick out, as you pull those clothes out, pick out, okay, I think 15 is a great goal to have in this space. Pick out your favorite 15. What are your favorite 15 outfits for that child? Put those in your closet. Put the rest in a donation bin or a donation bag. And don't stress about it. Don't think about it. Think about, is this going to be helping my home or is this going to be hindering my home? And keep that as a goal in mind of you are striving, you're organizing and striving towards keeping your home in a way that is helpful and not hindering. For example, and just another example would be workout clothes for you. Do you need 20 workout outfits? Probably not. Even if you have the space for them, you probably don't need that many. So let's see, you probably work out 5 to 6 days a week. Hopefully you're doing laundry every week. It's reasonable to say you could have 5 to 6 workout outfits. Keep them by outfit. That way you know you have enough tops and enough bottoms to go with everything. And take the rest and donate them. So as you're decluttering, one, don't compare. Two, look at your space and think, what is reasonable to keep in this space? What space have I been given? Not what space do I wish I have? What space have I been given? And what is reasonable to keep here? Pick your top, however many of that category to keep and donate the rest. So that's kind of the decluttering process, right? Now let's move into step 4 of let's organize what you're keeping. So you've decluttered. That's the first part, right? Get rid of all the excess. You don't need a million of everything. And if you need help with this, sorry, before we go on to step 4, if you need help with this, it will not organize every aspect of your home. But I know we've talked about it on here before. I've talked about it on Keeping Home as well. But there is a simplicity challenge that will help you organize and declutter some pockets of your home. It won't overhaul your whole house, but it'll get you a good bit of the way there to go just little check things that you can go through, eat some little pockets in your home to kind of help declutter and pull some of that extra out and simplify your life a little bit. So then step 3 was declutter. Step 4, organize what you're keeping. This is key. Every item in your home needs a home. Elizabeth Elliot actually said in one of her talks, every item in your home should have a home. And if it does not, you have too much stuff. So every item in your home should have a home. It makes it easy to tidy because you know exactly where that item goes. It also helps you look to see, do I need this? Do we need this in our lives right now? And the goal, when you're organizing what you're keeping, your goal is to keep your home easy to tidy. It doesn't mean your home is always tidy, and that's important. Once you have all of your spaces organized and your things ready to go and you're feeling awesome, you will have children come in and dump out the toy bins. You will. And that's what they're meant to do. We don't cook a meal and set it on a table and say, please, everyone admire this meal. Look at how beautiful this roast is, but please don't eat it because that would mess it up. That's foolish, right? And in the same way, we're not going to organize a toy room or a closet and then say, but you can't touch them because they're too pretty. No, we are organizing them to make them functional, to make them easy to use. So don't get your feathers ruffled when the toys are played with or when the clothes are worn or the toothbrushes are used, and help teach your children, help show them, say, hey, this is what mama did. I have all of these things organized here, and this is where they go when they're done. And when you're doing your tidy time at the end of the day, help them. Do it with them. I have found the hard way. Don't just tell them to do it. That unless they are older and competent in that level, totally fine. But as they're younger, if you're a mom of littles, go with them to tidy and say, this is the bin for the Paw Patrol or for the Mega Bloks or the Magna Tiles, and teach them where those things go. And we'll get to toys here in a second. I think I jumped ahead a little bit. But as you're organizing what you're keeping, make sure that every item in your home has a home, and set up your organization systems so that it takes about 30 minutes a day to maintain and pick up. And again, it's going to look different in different seasons and with children of different ages and capabilities. So if you have older kids, you might be able to have more toys in your playroom than I do right now. You might be able to have more things out because they're more capable at putting them away. But if you have a million toys in your children's rooms or their playrooms, they will get overstimulated. You will get overstimulated. No one will know where everything goes. Everyone's going to feel like they're living in chaos because you are. And studies actually show that children have a threshold of about 16 toys. So if you have more than 16 toys and they're out, your children are going to become overstimulated. They're going to get overwhelmed. creativity has been shown to decrease, and then of course the mess increases. I saw this in our own home a couple years ago where, and I had, you know, even smaller children than I do now, and they would just go into the playroom and they'd dump all the toys everywhere. Or when we had toys in my son's room when he was about two or so, he would just dump all the toys out. And I would be frustrated because I'd go, I just picked all this stuff up and now they're all out. Why are all of them out? And it's hard. It's going to take so much time to try to get these back where they go. So the problem was, and then he wasn't actually playing. And when we continued in this, you know, stream of chaos for a little while, I noticed that my daughter wasn't playing with the toys either. They would just dump them out and then run around wild and crazy because they didn't have, it's like there was too much for their brains. They kind of, you know, glitched a little bit where they're like, I don't know what to play with. I'm just going to have everything out. And it's too much. It's overwhelming for them. It's overwhelming for you, and it's not worth it. We set up a toy rotation and a toy shop. So instead of saying, we're taking, you know, 80% of your toys to the garage, we set up a toy shop. We got one of those garage organizers. It's like those big plastic shelves, you know, and set that in the garage. And we have our toy room is split. So we have half office and half toy, half playroom. And it's a smaller room too, just from the get-go. So they have a small little area where we can keep toys. Now the toys go all through the house, but it's a small area where we can keep them. And on this shelf, I say, okay, it's reasonable for each kid to have about three different categories each. And then of course we have a couple bins of baby toys in the living room, but they get to pick. Well, let me back up. I took all of the toys that we have and I counted categories of, okay, we have Magna Tiles, we have Mega Blocks, we have Lincoln Logs, we have baby doll things, we have, you know, all of these categories. I separated all of our toys into categories and laid them all out so I could look at them, and then said, okay, we don't need all of these. So I decluttered some that I knew were not played with or were just, we were past age-wise or things of that nature. Decluttered and then looked at, okay, what do I have left? Let me count my categories. I'm going to get organizing bins for those. So I went to Walmart. Sterilite has these cheap little plastic bins. They're clear, which is very important. If you have kids that are non-readers, get clear organizing bins. I know those hand-woven baskets from Peru are just calling your name. And I know they're so beautiful, but your children can't see what are in them. And even if you have the most aesthetically pleasing label on the front, if they're not reading, they can't read the label, and all of the things are going to get taken out. And it makes the toy shop aspect of it really hard to maintain as well. So you take all of your categories, you see what you have, you get these clear bins, and I still put the Avery brand label. They make like address labels and things like that. They make these little, I think they're called multi-purpose labels. They're like $1.32 a piece. You don't have to have an expensive label maker. And you can get, yeah, I don't know, 30, 40 something of them in a pack. You take these clear label or the clear bins. You put all the toys in their own bin. Each category gets its own bin. Just take a Sharpie, write the name of the category on the bin, stick it on there. And then they get to pick three bins each to keep in our playroom. We put those on the shelf. The rest of them go on the shelf in the garage, and that's our quote unquote toy shop. Then whenever they're tired of them, or I notice, wow, we're not playing really well anymore. We're just kind of throwing stuff again. Or I'm seeing that they're getting bored. I'll say, hey guys, you want to go to the toy shop? And they always get excited. So they'll go, they'll take their bins, take them out to the garage, and then they get to pick three more. And this is where having those clear bins comes in handy too, because when they're looking at all of the toys on this organizing shelf in our garage, they can easily see, oh, I have not played with my Daniel Tiger characters in months. I would love that. Or I have not done my Hot Wheels tracks in a long time. I would really like to have those. So they can easily see what toys they have to choose from. So each toy gets a category. Each category gets a bin. every bin gets a label. Pick however many are reasonable to have in your space and put the rest in a toy shop in your garage or in the basement or another space that you have in your home. Maybe that means it's in a separate closet. Maybe you have an office closet that you can put that in. That would be great. And then as they get tired of them, or if you just see, hey, we need a change, rotate those bins out. I'm telling you, it will make a huge difference in how easy it is to tidy your home and how much better your children will play over time. Their imagination and their creativity will skyrocket and your stress will decrease as a result as well. So that's kind of toy specific, but that kind of pattern also applies to just other spaces in your home. So do one space at a time. Don't overhaul. Pull out everything from the space that you're working with. Separate it into categories. Pare down what you have in each category. So again, set that number of what would be reasonable to keep with the space that you have before you start paring down. Keep that number in your mind as you simplify. If you're having trouble letting go of things, ask yourself, is this helping our home or hindering our home? And then another option that you have here too, if you really struggle with holding on to stuff, an idea is when in doubt, get it out. So when in doubt, if you're like, oh, I really don't know, maybe I need 5 running headbands or 15, 5 is actually a pretty reasonable number, but maybe I really need these 15 running headbands. So pick your 5 favorite, put them there, put the rest in a box, get it out of your house, put it in the garage and write something on the top so you know what's in that box without having to open it. And then live like that for a little bit. And I would almost bet money that in a couple months, you won't have thought about those other 10. You won't have thought, oh, I really wish I had that one. If you do, go to the box, get it. You probably need it in your home. You're going to use it. It's totally fine. If not, if you have had it out of your home for a month or two and you haven't thought about it, you don't need it, and you see, oh, wow, this is actually nice not having this space cluttered, donate that box sight unseen. Don't open it. Don't dig back through it. Don't walk down memory lane. Just get that out of your house because it will clear your brain, which will help you take good care of your home as well. So when in doubt, get it out. Donate it sight unseen if you don't dig for it again. So after you've pulled everything out, you've pared down to the category, to what you need in that category, clean the space that you have. Look at the size of each category and determine what containers would be right for that area. Set your containers in place, return your items to that place, and then donate all of the excess. And here too, as you're organizing what you're keeping, containment is your best friend. If you have cardboard boxes, start with those. If you can go to Dollar Tree to get plastic bin organizers, do that. And then as finances allow, if you want to get the really beautiful organizing bins and all of the labels and stuff, do that. But don't use finances or small resources as an excuse to not get your home in good working order. Use what you have now and then work your way up to the beautiful, aesthetically pleasing organizers that you would love to have. Some of my favorite spots for containers, honestly, are Dollar Tree and Hobby Lobby. Actually has fantastic ones in the springtime. They have them in their springtime shop, probably because everybody's spring cleaning, you know, but they have them usually 40% off for their spring sale. So Hobby Lobby is a fantastic place for organizing bins. Walmart also has some really great options. And again, when it comes to toys for kids, I like that Sterilite brand because they're all clear. So last step, maintain. This is what's key too. You can spend hours organizing your home and it can all be undermined if it's not maintained well. So set up a donate bin or a donate bag, something like that in your home. As you come across something where you're like, wow, we really don't need this, put it in the donate bin or the donate bag. When it gets full, go donate it. Sit or have a yard sale. But don't keep it just laying around your house thinking, man, we really don't need this anymore, or my kids outgrew this months ago. Put it in a donation bin or a donation bag and have that ready so it makes decluttering your home a habit. Because organization is not it's not a one-time deal. It doesn't mean I'm going to get my house all organized and then leave it, right? It's a lifestyle. Just like getting healthy and eating healthy foods, working out, those are lifestyle changes. If you're living in the middle of a cluttered mess, it's going to take lifestyle changes to get you out of that mess and then maintain that. So remember, organization's not a lifestyle. It's not a one-time, organization is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time deal. Maintain your daily rhythms that will help you keep everything in their homes. So doing an evening tidy every night, making sure that you have a tidy bin or two to help collect little odds and ends around the house, which I'll get more into the use of the tidy bin next week when we talk about cleaning. But having a tidy bin, one of those collapsible canvas kind of bins, to help collect all of your little odds and ends around the house. And then you can ask your kids to help you be runners before dinner and put everything back into their homes before they go. One helps get out that little burst of energy that kids have right before dinner. My husband and I call them the zoomies sometimes. All of a sudden, right before dinner, they're like, we got to run around the house and be crazy. So might as well run around the house and put things back in their homes. So having a tidy bin to use there is helpful. And again, we'll talk more about that last week or next week. But set up habits and rhythms in your home to keep things tidy. That will help a lot. All right, we've talked a lot about organization. I'm going to leave you with one verse and an encouragement. And then next week, come back next week, and we'll talk all things cleaning. So the verse is Psalm 24, verses 1 through 2. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. So our homes and everything in them belong to the Lord. Let's steward them well to the good of our households and to the glory of God. We'll see you next week.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.